Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, it's toy department time on a new day. Gonna be doing Fridays for a while we're double challenging. I'm Derek Madden. He's Matt Kolsky. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. I did a morning show today, so I'm like, you're catching me at the middle or end of my day or something. I'm like fired up.
What time did you wake up to do this morning show?
4:04 a.m. So it is 10:35. I've been up for more than 6 hours.
Ooh, that's got to be murder on the old body clock.
For me, a guy who normally works from 6 to 10 p.m. or later when it's a Warriors game, it's fine.
Yeah. So I feel like I may somehow be in better shape than you are. I'm working from home today. Because I got my booster shot yesterday, and so I wanted to leave some room for, feeling all worn out.
Congratulations.
Particularly because, thank you, I got the Moderna booster, and I've always heard Moderna is the worst in terms of, like, side effects and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel fine. There's, like, a little pain in my arm, and other than that, I'm good. And in fact, we were talking about this before the pod, my building, they put out some free mimosas this morning. So I've already partaken a little bit as we get to midday. So hopefully that'll help the pod in some way, shape, or form.
Well, I didn't know if we were going to talk about that on the pod since you're technically working from home right now. But I'm glad you brought it up because I don't mind telling you that, I don't know if it was so you could finish your mimosas, but there was I texted, hey, I'm ready whenever you are. And you were like, give me 15 or 20 minutes. Given that time, I did not know what to do besides partake in my customary post-work bong. So, we're a compromised podcast to a degree.
So compromised, in fact, that I had texted Kolsky earlier in the week about one of the things that we were watching. And he made a reference to it, and I could not remember what it was.
That happened. That's true.
Yeah,
I can put the audio at the end of the podcast to verify it for people.
And if you're wondering if you need the audio, or I can tell you that I've already forgotten. Like, I remember what it is, but I've already forgotten the name of it. So
again?
How about that? Yeah, it's Untitled Tom Hanks Movie in my head right now.
I mean, it probably was called Untitled Tom Hanks Movie in production for quite a long time. So
I know what the name of the movie is, the guy's name, but I don't remember what the name is.
And in your defense, like, it only gets said, 250 times or so by the stupid robot?
Finch, right? It's Finch.
Finch.
Is that it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Did you look at the cast of this film before you watched it?
I did not.
Okay.
I just knew it was Tom Hanks. I did not know that the robot was honestly going to be a speaking part coming in.
Right.
Boy, is it. Boy, is it.
It sure is. Did you... when the robot started talking, how did you think that was being done?
Well, I definitely just thought it was a person's voice, I think. I don't know. It took me a while to figure out. Like, I actually, it was one of the things where I went to IMDb and I'm like, who is this voice? Because it seemed a little familiar. I didn't quite get why it seemed to be doing an accent for a while.
Oh, see, I thought at the beginning, I guess you're calling it an accent. What I interpreted that as was like the stilted, that was like listening to a computer try to talk.
Oh,
right?
He's doing computer. It almost came across like Eastern European to me, though.
Yeah, it was weird. And I kind of thought they just had like a, you know, text to speech app. But I had looked at the cast and I knew Caleb Landry Jones was in it. And so I spent 2/3 of the movie wondering when he was going to show up as like some sort of dangerous grifter, which, you know, is sort of his usual role.
His vibe, yeah.
So anyway, on a certain level, I think it's good I had that to occupy my mind during this film. And it's not that it's bad. It's like, it's maybe it's a kid's movie to a degree, but it's like got too much grown up stuff to be a kid's movie.
Yeah,
so I don't know
exactly
who it's for.
I don't know either. I mean, it's just weird to like make a movie about this whose plot is essentially like man learns to be less of a dick to his robot in post apocalyptic America.
Only marginally less of a dick. You know what it is? More than that, it's dog learns to be less of a dick to his robot.
Sure, the dog really does come around. But
yeah.
Look, Tom Hanks is Tom Hanks, and I understand why a movie like this would get greenlighted, and I think he gives a decent performance.
Uh-huh. I would agree.
But this is such a forgettable movie. But as you can tell, the fact that I've already forgotten it 3 days later.
it is forgettable is a good word. Because it isn't bad. And it wasn't like a terrible time. It's just like kind of meh.
Yeah. I texted you in the middle. I think I may need to apologize for picking this Tom Hanks movie. And I will say that I did think it picked up after that text. Like, I think it does get better as it goes, but
yes,
it never gets great.
No, and there's no like big finish, and there's no like, you know, it's not ultimately saying anything that huge or critical. Like, it just there's nothing that happens or exists in this movie to even make it rise to the level of pretty good, much less very good.
Yeah. I, you know, Tom Hanks clearly does not need career advice from me.
No.
But if correct. He were to ask for it, I feel like I would say, I think we've had enough movies where it's just kind of you and not really any other people. You know what I mean? Or maybe one or two other people.
Well, it's just like, the one, to be fair, right?
I think there's more than just Castaway, right?
Are you sure it's not just Castaway looming large?
But maybe it is just Castaway looming large. I don't know. Like, I feel like there was another movie that's just like that's just him somewhere.
Where?
But regardless, you've done that. I have to go look at that. Now I gotta go look at his IMDb, figure that out. But we've seen it. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, I agree, even if it is just Castaway looming large, which is my suspicion. Like, it's, you know, we did see it. And this is a different guy. And I think you're naturally looking for similarities to Castaway when you see a movie like this. And I would say that to the extent, like, they're different guys. They're different characters. And noticeably, you know, because Tom Hanks is a good actor. I mean, I suppose this is not breaking news. But it is still a very similar vibe, and I can see how you would feel like we didn't need more.
Yeah. God, you know what I'm realizing? There's a lot of Tom Hanks movies that I haven't seen.
Well, there's The Terminal. I guess he's pretty solo in The Terminal.
Yeah, The Terminal is kind of one. And even, like, you know, they're definitely opposite their other people, other captains even, and Captain Phillips. But
oh, I didn't see that one.
It's a pretty similar vibe. Like, you know, you're out at sea. There's not so many other people. Yeah, you're right. That may be it for him, just in the movie by himself, though. So anyway, look, if you want to watch Tom Hanks for 2 hours, then this movie's worth it. It does that. gives you that. But I don't know that you'll be holding this up with, like, that you'll be thinking about this movie in a month, never mind 6 months or a year or 5 or 10, you know?
I tend to agree.
Yeah. Let's talk about The Harder They Fall.
Okay.
which came out on Netflix, and I think this was basically somebody going pitch here, right? It's like, let's get the coolest black actors in Hollywood we can find and turn them loose and let them have fun. Right? Like, I don't know that this movie is trying to do a whole lot.
But it's
a good time.
The one thing you left out is to, you know, make what is effectively a traditional Western, maybe a little funnier, but essentially like a straight up Western with very little ultimately done to address the fact that everybody here is black, which is fine.
It's a straight up Western through a very modern lens, right? Like there's modern music in the soundtrack,
modern music, modern action.
Sometimes modern speech. Yeah. And the way it's filmed, you're right. Exactly. Like, it looks like a traditional action movie. They just happen to be, in a Western while it's happening. The way it's shot and some of the stuff that happens.
But it is plotted and sort of told in a way that's very traditional Western, and I enjoyed it more than traditional Westerns. Frankly, I had a great time, and I totally agree. Like I said, there's very little to address the obvious social issues that could be at play here, and that's fine. That's not what this movie, that's not what this movie's doing. This movie is just letting people who basically didn't, people who look like this never didn't get to do this thing where you just get to go do a Western and play and have fun.
Yeah.
How many black guys in Tombstone? You know what I'm saying? But this is that kind of movie. It's a kind of movie like Tombstone that, like, it's a little funnier and juiced up from a traditional Western, but it's essentially following that formula, and I think it's great.
Did you enjoy the twist at the end?
How do you mean? Let's spoil. What specifically do you mean?
I mean, when we discover Nat Love's motive, his motivation. Yes, the Darth Vader moment at the end, if you will.
Well, except, yeah, it's less of a Darth Vader moment, right? It's not Nat Love's intentions.
Right, it's Luke,
Rufus's,
I have your brother.
Right?
I have your stepbrother, your half-brother.
Right. Yeah. But it's Rufus's intention is my point.
Right. Yes.
It's interesting. I anticipated something. I was thinking maybe they ended up like joining forces to fight off the like people who were coming to try to take the land, you know?
Yeah.
And instead it was still like, Rufus Buck couldn't be redeemed, right?
No.
And I think that's why it's maybe not a Darth Vader moment, because as evil as he was, in some ways, Darth Vader is redeemed in his final moments. Rufus is not redeemed.
But do you think Nat Love is redeemed by killing Rufus, right? Like, he clearly doesn't want to kill Rufus, and then it's kind of, does, right?
No,
like,
I mean, I think he does want to kill him. I think Rufus made it trickier by...
Yeah.
Less by like playing to his sympathy than just by blowing his mind in that moment, I think.
Right.
I think it was less about, oh man, I don't want to kill my stepbrother than it was like, what the F?
I think Rufus made a convincing argument that you're like, you're more of a killer than I am. I couldn't kill you back when I could have, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, but I think ultimately the decision is like the code, Nat Love's code is still his code, and the code says it's okay to kill guys like Rufus Buck, right?
Yeah.
The code in that moment the code is more important than like an essentially meaningless blood tie.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the stuff. Like, the fact that this is the controversy that we're addressing is illustrative of the fact that this movie is an action film and not a political statement, right?
Not at all. Yeah, not, I mean, like, there's some you know, you see some racism, but it, honestly, it would almost be weird if there wasn't racism, right? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, they like, have to...
suspension of disbelief.
They have to throw... like some white people being awful in there, because that's historically accurate. But ultimately, that's just not really part of this film. This film exists largely in a space where black people are amongst each other and not harassed for, you know, whether that existed in real life or right. not.
I'm sure it existed for a short burst of time.
Yeah, exactly. And that's sort of the picture that's painted here, right? Is that, like, the white people are coming to screw it all up anyway, but, like, this is the conflict within this community at this time.
Yeah. My criticism of this movie is that for what we're talking about being a fun, lightweight action movie with people doing cool shit, it's at least 30 minutes too long. Like, this movie's, like, well over 2 hours. And that,
yeah.
there's not really any need for that.
Maybe, but I just think you're swimming against the tide of inevitability with that one.
Yeah. I suppose.
I think, like,
there's no reason this couldn't have been an hour and 50 minutes. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, you're right.
I don't know that was inevitable. That wouldn't be.
Well, no, I mean, I guess you're right in this case, and you would be right in a lot of cases, is what I'm really saying. But ultimately, like, at this point in movie making time, I feel like your energy would be better spent celebrating the rare film that is under 2 hours, as opposed to lamenting the fact that 90% of films are half an hour longer than they need to be.
Yeah, that's fair. It's worth mentioning, because we're talking about appreciating and celebrating things, that, like, Lateef Stanfield is so magnetic in everything he's in.
God,
big part,
so
small
good.
Part, whatever. Like, it's always great. It's always great.
Well, but you know what?
I don't know. Like, I feel like we should be talking about him as an A-list guy more than we do as a society. You know what I mean?
Maybe, but there's something special about guys like Lateef Stanfield. And, I mean, what makes him unique, I think, is, well, first of all, he gets pretty out, like... His range is pretty spectacular, but also I think what makes him most notable, and I don't want this to be taken the wrong way, but it's the fact that he's black, and it's been rare for black guys to have the space and opportunity to do the sorts of things he's gotten to do early in his career, right? But there've always been those guys that are just so good that you, in one sense, wonder why they're not a leading man more often. But in another sense, I think Sorry to Bother You is a great illustration of why he's not a leading man more often, is because it takes something like that for him to be a leading man, and there's just not a lot of weirdness in the world. There's not enough weirdness for Lateef Stanfield to be a regular leading man.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how interesting he is in it. You know what I mean? In being a, you know...
Right.
A headlining guy, or a guy that does a bunch of action, that does a bunch of action movies as, like, the lead dude.
Well, that's the thing. I think,
you know what I mean? So,
based on his career, right, and having heard him interviewed a handful of times, I would say he's most interested in being interesting, in doing interesting things, right? He's a thoughtful, interesting
right.
guy. He's most interested in doing thoughtful, interesting work, and that doesn't lead itself to a lot of major leading man roles.
Yeah, that's fair. I have a hard time picturing him in the Idris Elba part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, that's because we just saw...
It just doesn't seem like the kind of part he would take. You know what I mean?
Maybe, and that's kind of my point, but don't you think it would have been an awfully interesting movie if he was in that role?
Sure.
I mean, that's the thing,
I
right?
Think whatever,
like,
he does is...
Right. And that's why you wish he got more, big swings. But he's getting plenty of work, and boy, is he fun to watch. And I think on a certain level, although certainly Lateef is specifically interesting, I think on a certain level, if I replace the name Lakeith Stanfield in the initial sentence of, like, boy, isn't blank good in just about everything. It would describe almost every actor in this film. From Regina King to the kid from I'm Dying Up Here to, like, just on down the line. Idris Elba. Everyone in this movie is great. Mm-hmm. And pretty much everyone. Delroy Lindo. Everyone in this movie is not only great, but pretty much always great.
What do you, like, you know, we talked about the Gene Smartisans. Like, Delroy Lindo's on a pretty good run, like, a pretty good, like, late career run of doing some interesting stuff and really showing off his shit a little bit. It's kind of cool.
Isn't Delroy Lindo a guy who, like, I'm Googling this right now. He is 68 years old. Oh, my God. Okay, maybe I'm stupid. Did you know he's British?
No. That does not shock me, but no, I did not know that. No.
I guess he went to college here, so maybe he moved here relatively young.
I don't feel like he has an accent in his regular life, but
he moved to Toronto as a teenager and San Francisco at age 16. So, okay.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, his first 12 or 15 years he spent in England. That's funny. He is considered a British actor. Anyway, okay. The point is, he's 68 years old. He's a guy who, like, when he was 40, felt like he was going to be a great actor at 68, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, not that he wasn't great at 40, he was, but just, like, he looked like a guy who was going to play the like, wizened old guy really well for a long time.
Yep. And that's come to pass.
Yep.
I would say.
And here we are.
And I do think the kid from I'm Dying Up Here and Hunters, right? He was in Amazon show, right? Hunters, I think.
Yeah.
I really, you know, it's a comic relief part, but I thought he was really magnetic.
Agreed. And Jonathan Majors is always spectacular. Like, everybody in this was awesome. This is what makes a really good, you know, popcorn movie, is keep it reasonably light, good action sequences, and great actors.
Yeah. And, you know, this is the kind of, you know, not a big Western guy per se, but this is the kind of popcorn movie that is right up my alley.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good time.
Yeah. So indeed. Good times indeed. And speaking of good times, Big Mouth is still great. I'm plowing through Big Mouth right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've watched three, and, like, midway through the third episode, I was thinking to myself, I don't even know what we're really going to say, because it's Big Mouth, and it's back, and it's great. The thing I settled on is, this show was always grown up. So this is a little weird to say, or hard to, like, manage exactly what I'm trying to say, but the show has grown up with its characters in what I think is a hilarious and extremely well-executed way.
Yeah.
I will say it is a little weird to listen to John Mulaney, given his prominent place in pop culture news.
Wait, which part are you referring to? Can you be explicit about that?
What do you mean?
Are you talking about, like, the stuff with Olivia Munn and that, or is there something else that I'm not thinking of?
Well, he was in rehab at one point, like, the Olivia Munn stuff. It's just, it's a bit of a mess. His life is a bit of a mess.
Yes, he's a bit messy.
Yeah, John Mulaney's messy. Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah. I don't know if he's fessy messy, but he's messy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're coming up on a year anniversary of him going to rehab.
Yeah.
And Olivia Munn is pregnant with his child, right?
He dissed his wife for Olivia Munn, I think.
Right. And now they're not together, I believe. I don't know. Look, I don't follow it that closely. I'm just saying I know enough about it that, like, it's funny to hear him voicing a child.
Yeah. There's so many. I also thought Mark Duplass was funny to hear him voicing a child because he's so unchildlike. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yeah. but, you know, David Thewlis is back.
Everybody's back. It's people who weren't in it before are back. You know
the
I mean?
Yes, yeah. the love bugs are a fun addition.
Yes, there's another animal coming too. One of whom I believe is voiced by Kiki Palmer. If I'm
great.
I didn't look that up, but I'm pretty sure that's
a pretty distinctive voice.
So there's more to come. I hope that this show. Actually, you know what? Along those lines, let me ask you. So, you talked a little bit about the growth, kind of these characters, like that they do seem to be maturing at, you know, at whatever pace it is that they're maturing. Are they actually aging? Like, how old are these kids supposed to be then?
Yeah, I think they're aging.
Have they been progressing in grades?
I think they have.
Okay. Because I feel like that is, I'm a little unclear on that. And I'm not saying that the show has, that may be me, not the show, but.
I think they're progressing through middle school, but I'm not 100% sure, I guess. I wonder, because at some point they would go to high school. What season is this? Well, but the thing is, the seasons are not like years of school, right?
Yeah, there's not only, necessarily.
There's only been one or two, like, summers, I think.
I mean, there definitely was a summer camp, right? So we know,
yeah, I think there was summer camp, and then there was, like, one summer they yada-yada'd, I think. But for the most part, there was there's been, like, sort of two seasons per school year, it seems like.
Yeah. My hope is that, which is what I was going to say originally, is that, you know, there's almost like a South Parkian run of this where they just keep, you know, they just keep cranking out 12 new episodes.
You can at least get through high school and still make this show.
And at some point, there's a giant body of work that you could just binge.
Yeah, totally.
Because it's a delightful place to spend some time. And man, those episodes just roll one way.
They melt away. They melt right away. It's great.
All right. So, yeah. So, all the thumbs up for Big Mouth. I'll be just as excited about it when they drop another season as I am right now. And that's nice.
Amen.
You ready to talk challenge? Let's start with the junior circuit.
Is it the junior
regular
circuit,
challenge,
though?
Double agents. Well, they're the younger people.
Yeah. Okay.
What should we call it? The main challenge?
Maybe. Because it's definitely the majors.
All-Stars is definitely the seniors. Right. It's definitely the seniors tour. The
it's more like the main tour and the seniors tour than the junior tour.
Correct.
Right?
Right. Yeah. That's
like, I feel like the junior circuit is what NL fans call the AL to be dickheads.
Correct. Yes. When I want to be a dickhead, that's exactly what we do.
Yeah.
NL till I die, baby. But yeah, so this episode of the challenge, right? I mean, the headline is the Emerald Streak is finally over.
Yeah, I guess that's the headline. And Emerald has been infiltrated. Although, what a weird way for it to all go down, right? Like,
yeah, it did take some turns, I would say.
So much was made here of what was, like, kind of an inevitable result. And Amanda threw that whole temper tantrum and threatening people and you're in jeopardy and you're in jeopardy and I'm throwing myself in and everybody needs to watch the hell out, blah, blah, blah. And ultimately, it was absolutely inevitable that she was going to A, choose Big T, and B, swap out with Tori. Like,
right.
There was never any opportunity, any chance she was going to call out any of the girls on Emerald, because first of all, that's where she wanted to go, and she wanted to keep it as strong as possible. And second of all, they're all much stronger than her.
Yeah.
So, like, she made a whole scene. We spent 20 minutes on Amanda.
She could take Nani. I think she could take Nani. but you're right.
But she'd have a chance against Nani, but would you favor her?
I don't know. I feel like that would be a little bit even.
Okay, so at best, she has an even shot, and she clearly is the favorite against Big T in literally anything.
She explained it well. She's like, I want to go over there, and so I don't want to pick anybody over it. Like, she laid it all out.
She was never going to do it, and so the whole thing was silly, and it was so much of the episode, I found it kind of annoying. Because even at the time, I was like, what is she talking about? She's not picking any of them. She's obviously, as soon as Sapphire won, she was obviously picking Big T. But before we talk any more about any of this, I have an important question to ask you. And I had to get to, I didn't watch this till last night, and then I had to watch the All-Stars, and then I had to go to sleep so I could do this morning show. So I didn't even remember or get around to Googling it. What do we think Ashley did?
Oh! Yeah! What's, like, I need to know more about this.
So you did not Google it either?
I did not Google it either. But we need to, like, I was kind of hoping you did.
She is in anger management, according to Us Weekly. She's been deactivated for breaking the rules. She wrote on Twitter, rules are rules. I respect MTV and TJ's call. The best apology is changed behavior. See you next time. Blah, blah, blah. Hard to shake off depression and anxiety since getting home. Been taking anger management and reflecting a lot. I love y'all. I love you. I love you. Well, yeah.
All right. Love so everybody. I'm assuming if it's an anger issue that she struck someone, right? Although, but it'd be weird that that would happen and they wouldn't show it, right?
Why wouldn't they show that? And then remember that Lauren from Love Island, who got edited out earlier in the season.
Yeah.
And then talked about, like...
But she said something, right? That was why she got edited out.
Well, right, but we don't know what. And then right, she correct. Talked about getting, like, screwed over, basically.
Yeah. But here's Ashley saying, like, yeah, I screwed up, right? So... yeah, I don't know. I feel like we need to know more. I may need to dig a deep dive on this a little bit because it is weird. And then ultimately, right? Like, you know, obviously it wasn't meaningless the elimination in the lair, but it is weird when, like, you know, you're kind of realize they're not. Like, it occurred to me that it would be hard for them to just get rid of two girls at once, right? So I wasn't stunned when they're like, actually, Big T, you can stay. So.
Okay, according to, you know. Oh, my.
Oh, no. Do you get some breaking news?
Okay, so apparently on an Instagram live, Nelson said, quote, her and Josh got into it really, really bad, and Ashley unfortunately said some really terrible things that you should never say to anybody, no matter who the person is or what they got going on in their life. And according to a challenge spoiler account on Twitter. So this is obviously hearsay.
Yeah. I don't want to know any challenge spoiler accounts on Twitter. Like I don't follow.
Yeah. I don't follow them either. This is from some internet sleuthing. Quote, Ash said in an argument, we all know you're gay. And they sent her home.
Hmm. Okay.
That is per challenge spoiler account J Challenge 1.
Huh.
Yep. that seems to be the best guess, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah. All right. It's uncool, but I don't know. It's not quite as bad as I thought it was going to be honest.
No. But, you know, according to that same spoiler article or whatever, it Devin and Josh and some other people complained to production over it, and she got sent home.
Wow. Devin and Josh are like really good and locked up this season. Yeah, yeah. It's a type on there.
Anyway,
let's get back to you. You know, because you talked about, I don't know why we went through all this and showed all this.
Amanda's part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Amanda's part of it. Amanda's my runaway MVP.
Yeah, maybe that's the answer to my question, is because it's Amanda and she's spectacularly entertaining. Because you're right, it was. It was spectacularly entertaining. She just, you know, I guess at the end of the day, I feel like she's making a fool of herself, but making a fool of herself in this particular way is kind of her thing.
Well, and yeah, and then like, and then Devin goes at her hard, and I think like, legit affected her. You know, that she, because I went back and watched it, like, she walks Josh right into that trap. Like, Josh is very much like, I'm uncomfortable in this conversation.
Yes.
You know, I don't think Tori's a weak player. I don't feel like she's expendable. She's great on her team. And she still makes it big, basically. And he's like, well, all right. If you, you know, she walked him right into that answer and then used it right against him. And it was amazing. Like, just to drop that then, like, I was tour de force performance from her. And then she goes in with the elimination. So easy MVP for me. Great job, Amanda. Like quality heel work all day.
Yeah, you're right. Everything you just said is true. And I would add to that, she also walked him into, she kept being like, well, you're the one who brought it up in elimination, but she manipulated him into bringing it up. And then he didn't exactly bring up their conversation. He just said the words, I want to run with these girls on my team. And then Amanda was like, oh, you do?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. That's what
I
said.
I was going to pick Tori anyway, which is right. True. She's gonna be Tori anyway.
Of course she was. But,
yeah, she extracted that confession and then used it against him in this totally weird spot where he kind of has to come clean, but can't come all the way clean.
I am fascinated listen to what Tori has to say about that on the podcast. I haven't heard it yet, but I'm interested to hear, because I can understand why she'd be offended. At the same time, like, I think everything he said was totally understandable and not really at all insulting to Tori.
No, like, I feel like when she watches that back, like, they'll be okay. And I think it's kind of what, you know, what she'll have to say, if I'm just speculating. But you know, I've gotten these wrong before. So we'll
yeah, but I'm interested because, that, you know, she does say, like, if he actually, like, gave me up as the one, then that's going to piss me off. And he did. It's just the way it happened, like, it's hard to blame him.
Yeah. He really didn't want to. And, like, he really tried to be like, Tori.
And he literally said, I'm not comfortable having this conversation. And she just, like, pressed through.
Yeah. And look, and I think Tori looks up and goes, like, I get it. I think she understands, right? That obviously, like, Casey's been, you know, they've been in lockstep his entire challenge history. And, you know, that he and Nadia are super duper close. And that's it. she's not blind to any of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's no slight against her that she's third in that group. You know what I mean?
He would clearly rather have her than Amanda.
Yeah. Yeah. He said as much.
Yes.
I'm sure she was mad. I have a feeling that she's probably calmed down about it since. But we'll have to find out. Do you agree with me that Amanda was the MVP of this episode? Or do you have another one?
I agree with you only because I didn't think there was really a great MVP for this episode. I do love how Nelson immediately, the overly self-serious leadership stuff that Corey was doing, Nelson immediately picked up that mantle upon Corey's elimination. There was some incredible Nelson content in this episode, but since he's not succeeding in any measurable way, it's hard to say he's an MVP.
No, but that does, to me, segue nicely into Burn of the Week. Uh-huh. The last couple of episodes, I feel like I've sort of been like, yeah, I don't know if it's a good episode for Burns. I thought this was an excellent episode for Burns.
Several tremendous Burns, I would agree. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, just to throw it out there, I would start with Amanda talking about having to rely on Nelson and Kyle for solving a puzzle.
Yes.
Let that sink in for a minute.
Yeah.
And then Devin, I just need to know what the skill set that would make Amanda a valuable teammate is, because I don't see it. I had to rewind a couple different times.
That was excellent. Good,
just a thorough, burn. And then Logan kind of the other way, and I don't even remember who he said this about anymore, but just called someone a comedy, which
I think it was Big T.
Was great. Yeah. But I'm putting all of those aside for Devin, and I believe it was Kyle.
The voiceover.
Watching Nelson walk the stones.
Yes.
The voiceover.
The voiceover of Nelson's slow walk up and down the hill was so good.
Yeah.
Had Ashley talking about Ruby Team in the daily as well, just being like, Amanda's the only one there with a brain, so they're going to need her on the puzzle. That was pretty good. I also wanted to give a shout-out. Mine was also the Devin voiceover, but I wanted to give a shout-out to Josh for a tremendous self-burn. Did you catch that?
No.
So right after the scene we already talked about in the elimination debate where he got himself into trouble trying to talk to Amanda, they cut to the ITM, and he just looked so disappointed, and he goes, "This is such a Josh moment for me. This all could have been avoided if I had just stayed quiet." And it's like, yes, you get it. Not in time to save yourself, but you totally get it.
He really has thrown up a lot.
So much.
I've turned a lot on Josh over the last season or so. I finally see why other contestants seem to like him so damn much.
He's a sweet, sweet, wonderful boy who just sometimes can't control himself.
Yeah, I think he, if we're talking about strategy going forward, I think he's a guy you look to pick off, right? Like, he's, sort of known to be clumsy, and I think there's a lot of eliminations where you'd have to feel like he's going to be your best option, and he's a guy you probably want to try to get out before the final, right? So
yeah, it's interesting. Because of the dynamic of this game, Josh is one of the guys who has almost zero chance of being voted in by the winning team, but I think a decent chance of being chosen as the opponent if the challenge looks like, if the elimination event looks like something he would struggle at.
Yeah, we got a guy's day coming up next, and I just think that that is going to be on the line. By the way, that's another thing. It's honestly, I feel like this is the first time all season that I heard a player sort of openly admit that they are like going down and trying to see what the game is and adjusting their pick from there, right? So,
yeah, except she was full of shit again. Like, she said that, but it was a lie, because no matter what the stupid event was, she was picking Big T.
Yeah, you're probably right. Unless it was going to be like a swimming event or something.
I'm 100% right. Even in a puzzle, I still think she'd pick Big T over Emmy, although Emmy is a possibility.
Yeah, I might come for Emmy at a puzzle.
I mean, yeah, but it's not like Big T is so good at puzzles. You know what I'm saying? I love Big T. I'm glad she's still here. She's a good character. She's not good in an elimination.
No, we all sound like CT right now. basically.
But like, but and I feel bad when CT says that stuff, but he's right.
Yeah, he's just being honest.
At the end of the day, if you want to win $1 million, you got to call it like it is.
Yeah, yep. That's that is absolutely true. I do think that you know, as I had been clamoring in the last couple of weeks, that now that Emerald has been infiltrated and some of the pieces have moved around, I feel like it's a much more wide open game going forward. Like the Ruby team looks pretty formidable right now. With
but why are you Nelson. Hold on, stop. Why are you doing what? The thing that they all do where you assume these teams are going to last more than another week?
I'm not. I just mean it looks wide open for this next episode. That's all I'm saying. Because I think they'll be around for that.
Okay, fair enough.
I think we're getting pretty close to the final. And as I've already said on the show, like, I don't know that the final is going to be teamed at all.
It seems unlikely,
and
doesn't
if it? If it is going to be teams, I don't know that it's going to be three teams. Yeah, so.
You know, my wife, Joey, has
so,
this.
So, no,
has
I, this... I presume nothing beyond this week.
Yeah, as this episode was ending, my wife, Joey, turned to me and was like, what if they just combined the two small teams? Because it's now 3-3-6.
Yeah, like, that could very well happen.
Yeah. I mean, that could happen next episode, for all we know.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that would be very challenging to do so. So, all right, should we segue into All-Stars?
I think we should. Okay. I'm glad every episode is going to be a double elimination. That was a twist in the middle of last season that they pulled out as a twist in episode one this year that I think is necessary. Everyone needs to feel at risk for this game to work with these old motherfuckers. The second thing I have to say is they can't have episodes without eliminations. This show has not earned that.
Yeah. Look, I understand why they wanted to do a lot of background in this first episode, these contestants, because some of them need a little fleshing out. It's been a long time.
But this is Paramount
some
Plus.
Of them aren't on all that much.
This is Paramount Plus. Right. If you want to do extra background, give us an hour and 5 minute episode. We can all survive that for the premiere.
Yeah. Or a 90 minute episode. Yeah.
I cannot have an episode without an elimination in the very first episode of the season, in the second season of this version. It's just, it presumes too much.
It does. And did you feel like, I mean, this is the big takeaway for me, is that I feel like they are leaning pretty hard into the backstories and people sort of being like broken down or out of place in life where they could really use the money. And it almost seems like they're not necessarily looking for like the old legends anymore. Like this is the direction that they want to go in, that they think it's more compelling if they're just sort of picking out people who feel like they either need redemption on TV or could really use some cash.
Is it that, or is it this is who they could get? Because I agree. Like, obviously,
could
Casey.
That's the other possibility.
Yeah, like Casey and Sophie are not the stars that the fans were demanding to see.
Correct.
So I don't know. If this is all they could get, that does not bode well for the future of the All-Stars challenge. On the other hand, like, it's hard for me to say because Darrell is here and Derek is here and, like, people are here. By the way, Brad was not here last season. And I thought, like you said last episode, that, you know, Brad was coming back again. And I was like, was he there? So that was fun, and Tina.
I could have
fun.
Sworn he was there. Who was I confusing with Brad?
I have no idea, but this is Brad's first return, and the beard is ridiculous, and the haircut is even more so, and I love it. And Tina has not changed at all. Not only does she look exactly the same, she is the exact same person.
Well, with one key difference, as she explained.
True story. It happens, but. She is just, she is so hilarious and so much, and that voice is in like unmatched. It's the one of the more singular voices you'll ever hear. I love Tina. So there are good things here.
I felt myself being very happy that she was in like a good place life-wise.
Yes.
I didn't want struggling Tina coming on the show being like, I'm a single mom.
Right. Like if she's hitting, if she's like talking shit and smacking people and her life is terrible, it feels sad. But if she, I love for her, I'm married, I have no kids, and I have a pool in my backyard.
I don't work.
Yeah. Like that's exactly where I would have hoped she could get, and she really seems thrilled about it, and I'm happy for her, and I love that she's here. So like there are good things, is what I'm trying to get at. I'm excited for this season, but this was not the beginning I was hoping for.
No, it was not a tremendous episode. There is some like I'm happy to see this person, or I'm happy that Janae and Jasmine like settled their beef and are tight again. There's random things. By the way, I think Janae came back in much better shape this time.
I was gonna say a force in this, if there's one actual takeaway, like game wise from the first episode, it's that Janae came not only in better physical shape, but like with a plan and ready to strategize, and like she is a legit player right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Like she is looking and talking like maybe she should be on the other show.
Yes. Yeah, agreed. That might be a bit of a step up, but she to me looks like she's one of the more people to how she looked on the show now.
Yes.
Than some of the other ones in this group.
Which, like, by the way, given that she was like two or three months postpartum last time, like, it makes sense.
Sure. There's definitely a logical reason.
Yeah.
For all of it. For sure. There are some people like who I wasn't necessarily looking forward to. I kind of enjoyed having around. Like I think of Ayala.
Yeah.
And then now I'm already blanking on her name. But the girl from the Bay, Darrell's Secret Alliance.
Oh, yeah. I forget.
I've done her in years.
Uh-huh. Agreed. I already
forgot. I enjoyed her.
Janelle?
Yeah, I think it may be Janelle.
Agreed.
So wait, is Darrell in the Bay now? Is he a permanent resident of the East Bay?
I'm not sure, but I do. He is from the. I think he's from Oakland, and I did enjoy Ayala's. It's Ayala or Ayana? I think it's Ayala, right?
I think it's Ayala.
Anyway, her ITM about tech was hilarious.
Agreed. Yes. Yes, was really good. The scepter.
Yeah. Let the scepter hang.
So, and I had forgotten until they showed it, her exit from the show at the time, which was, some high-grade drama.
A moment.
Back in the day. Yeah, for sure. Boy, the show really has changed.
Sure has.
And that's the other thing. I mean, TJ obviously rightly called them out. But,
yes.
The daily challenges can't continue to be that sad looking. Like these guys got to step up and bring it.
Yeah, and I don't know how much of that.
Who knew better? You know what I mean?
Yes, and I don't know how much of that is on the production for making things that they can do without looking like a bunch of losers. Because I will say, after Nehemiah had his Hot Shots Part Deux moment where he had to spit his testicles out of his mouth, nobody was going to stand up on that thing.
Yeah, well, now, and combined with the DQ there where the bar was low, right?
Yeah.
Where everyone's just like, well, we just got to finish this thing.
Yep.
Having
no
that
rush.
Happen early, I think. Yeah. was a bad combo. like if that team went last, I think it would be a very different game. You know what I mean?
Maybe, but I'm telling you, like, one guy smashing his nuts is a good deterrent.
Sure is. Sure is. He seemed fine after, though.
Well, sure, but if he isn't the weirdest person to ever do this show, I don't know who is. Like, that's my other big...
Weird people who have done this show.
Fair enough, but that's my other big episode takeaway is, like, Nehemiah is a mother effing weirdo. The dude is weird, capital W.
He is, but I think, one of the more enjoyable presences on the show. Like, he definitely stirs the drink a little bit. So.
He's entertaining TV, but my favorite thing is when he tries to have, like, a normal interaction. Because he can't, and it's so funny to watch him and to watch the other people in the interaction be like, what is happening right now?
Yeah. There's a little bit of that. So I don't know. I think you're right. This was not a tremendous start for this season of All-Stars, but I'm not giving up hope on the potential quality in this season.
No, not at all.
The season's on, like, pretty good.
I criticize because I love. I want you to be great. And I did have this thought. I feel like the challenge model right now, big or little, junior or senior, is crescendo. So it's like we intend to get better and better over the course of the season. Therefore, like, we're never going to start with the best episode.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And, speaking of the challenge models, shout out to Steven, the hand model.
Oh, my God.
Jason Momoa looking dude. And by the way, his hands really do look great. Like, when he flashed them up there, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can see it.
Beautiful.
Yeah, good looking hands.
Beautiful, smooth, slightly surprisingly small hands on Steven. And... I have no memory of him whatsoever.
No, me neither.
And also, he looks as much like David Cho as Jason Momoa. So, like, when people were talking about him looking like Jason Momoa, and he was like, people always say that, and I don't get it. I was like, bro, you should claim that. Like,
Yeah, roll
don't,
with it. Roll
yeah,
with it.
Go with that one. Lean into that one, friend.
I also feel like he looks exactly the way I would imagine a hand model to look outside
of the
hands.
Of the hands.
You
yes.
know what I mean? Yes.
Yep.
So, yeah.
A very David Duchovny in Zoolander, outside of the hands.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So I'm glad he's here. That was a nice surprise because I didn't really remember that guy.
It was also hilarious how people pretended to be interested in what he had to do to be the hand model in a Modelo commercial. Oh, so you open the bottle. Oh, cool.
Right. You hold the bottle and on the camera. Yeah. I can't believe no one had a Seinfeld joke, right? So
I know. I know.
They probably did. It must have gotten cut.
There was an incredible Seinfeld segment of Big Mouth, though. So hopefully, if our listeners did all their homework, they got their taste of Seinfeld humor.
I did catch that. And of course, there's always, I know Kolsky's not a fan, but there's just a new season of Curb happening right now. So there's plenty of Seinfeld-ish stuff going on.
Right. Or you could just watch Seinfeld on Netflix, either way.
Right, Seinfeld's on Netflix now, so there you go. That is not going to be in the homework for this week. There's one thing that we sort of mentioned in the pre-show meeting that I don't know, that I didn't write down, so I don't know if we put this in the homework or not. So thumbs up to thumbs down, are we talking about the new season of Dexter next week? You can thumbs down it if you want. Don't feel obligated.
Can I thumb sideways and, like, kick it down the road a little?
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to talk about the new season of Dexter at some point, the Dexter revival, if you will.
Yeah.
Next week, we are staying with Showtime. They've got a new show called Yellow Jackets. The previews look tremendous. It's an interesting cast: Melanie Lynskey, Juliet Lewis, and more. yeah, it seems like an interesting mystery. You tonight, right? In the backyard are watching Shang-Chi.
Yeah, big backyard movie night going down tonight. Very excited.
That is coming to Disney Plus today. Is that
today.
Right?
Just arrived.
Yeah. So we'll watch that as well. And we are also going to check out Mayor of Kingstown on Paramount Plus, which stars Jeremy Renner and Kyle Chandler and Diane Wiest. And who knows? Paramount Plus. Try to jump into the prestige TV business.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it certainly has the cast of a prestige show. We'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, indeed. And I don't know. It'd be good if Paramount Plus had something that I watch other than soccer and The Challenge. So,
go so, USA.
Yeah. Go USA. Good game tonight, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Bring in Christian Pulisic off the bench, which always makes sense because he's too hurt to start, but we're going to risk his health in the second half. Go figure.
Well, it's not that. All right, so it's not that he's too hurt to start. It's that he's played 20 minutes of competitive football since the last time that they played, and both of those were in the last week or so. And they just don't know that he has a whole 90 in him,
mm-hmm.
From a running fitness standpoint. So and. You know, these things, right? There's always a sort of a negotiation with the club, right? I would not be surprised at all if Chelsea was like, you're not playing this dude 90. So,
all right.
Because, you know, especially because he's been hurt a bunch on doing national team stuff. And because yep. That's instead of Chelsea for a while. So.
Yeah, not like it's a big game for the national team and he's the greatest player in our country's history or anything. No big deal.
I'm happy he's there. By the way, I think that there is a distinct possibility. I'm not saying I would bet on it, but I think there's a distinct possibility that Gio Reyna passes him as the most accomplished American within the next couple of years. Gio's like 18, 19 right now.
I hope he does. But so, right now, Christian Pulisic is our best player, and he's the best player we've ever had. So it'd be nice to get him on the field as much as possible in a critical World Cup qualifying match against our chief rival. But hey, that's just me.
I agree, but I don't think he's going to play 90 either in this game or the Jamaica game.
Well, figure.
Hopefully they will have him for Canada, where we will also need him as well down the road. So, it should be fun to see. You know, I would also give, by the way, Ricardo Pepi an outside shot. You know, that's much more of a long shot. He's much more of a speculative guy, but
you know more about this than I do, so I'll defer to your greater knowledge.
And he'll be headed to somewhere interesting in Europe within the next year, almost certainly. So, so fun to see. All right, let's get the hell out of here, and do this again next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.